Might please God to bless our souls together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 28, and we'll read verse 17. The book of Genesis, chapter 28, and reading verse 17. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." This is, of course, what we might term a unique account in the Word of God. But it gives to us, thankfully, much instruction and teaching. And so we have this part of Jacob's life. Jacob was now on a journey seeking for a wife. His father and mother had directed him in this way, where he was to go. It wasn't long before that, of course, he had taken the blessing that Esau thought was his. In actual fact, it wasn't, because Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob when he wanted just a dish of pottage, lentils, and he was so exhausted. And when Jacob asked, "Give me for this your birthright," he gave it. So in actual fact, the birthright was Jacob's. And so he took hold of that which was his. We know it was probably, well, it was in a deceitful way, but nonetheless, it was his, because Esau had given it to him. But we know how annoyed and angry Esau was. And now Jacob is going to find a wife. And of course, he wasn't sure whether Esau would chase him or whether he would send someone to murder him. It's all right to read this account, but here he was traveling across a pretty hard country, and he traveled all day, and he came to a place where he was tired and the sun was setting and he needed to lie down and sleep. And so he took of the stones in that place and made a pillow for his head. Wasn't a very comfortable bed, was it? No nice mattress or sheets or blankets. There he was, lying down on the earth with just stones for his pillow. But nonetheless, that was the place. And in that condition, that the Lord was going to bless Jacob. And we should therefore, in our lives today, we might think, well, the Lord will never bless me in this kind of position that I'm in, or will ever come to me and favour me. And especially in the hard position that I find myself in, God has his way, God has his time. And what we know is this: God's time is always right, and God's way is always perfect. And so it was here in the life of Jacob. And Jacob, as we read, and he took the stones of the place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Well, God gave him sleep. And while he was sleeping, he had that amazing dream which we read of together in this 28th chapter of Genesis. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it. You see, here was Jacob with his vision. The Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in all thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Well, it was an amazing time, wasn't it? How was Jacob then blessed with this wonderful dream? It was a wonderful dream. And what happened then? Jacob awaked. He woke up out of the sleep. And what did he say? Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Well, sometimes we come into situations, and what a favour when God meets with us. When God speaks to us. When God directs us. We perhaps never thought or never realised that that would occur. And yet here it was, occurring to Jacob in a most remarkable way. And there was no doubt in Jacob's mind and Jacob's heart as to what had occurred. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He'd had this vision. He'd had these words spoken by God. And what an amazing scene it was as he saw this ladder from earth to heaven. The connection, as it were, between earth and heaven. The angels of God ascending and descending on it. Didn't stop there. There was the Lord. The Lord stood above it. Of course, it was the Lord who was addressing Jacob in his situation. Well, what a blessing for us if we have an occasion when Almighty God addresses us. May not be like this. It may not be in a dream. Maybe it's you and I going about our work. Maybe walking down the street. Whatever it may be. It's a great blessing to have the Lord come and speak to us. It may not be as lengthy as this address was to Jacob, but perhaps it will be a very short word. I am with thee. Yes, I am with thee. That's a great direction, isn't it? And if God speaks to us, what would the effect be? What was the effect here upon Jacob? What was the effect? Well, the effect was he trembled. He trembled. God had spoken to him. The Almighty God had spoken to him. He trembled, and he trembled in this way. He was afraid. He wasn't afraid of God as an enemy. No, he was afraid because God, the Almighty God, had condescended to come down and to address him. Well, that will make us, you and me, tremble, you know, when we think of the greatness of God and our utter unworthiness. Jacob must have felt like that, mustn't he? Utterly unworthy of any notice from God. And yet God had taken great notice of him and come and spoken to him and addressed him with regards to the family that he would have. Remember, here he was, no prospect, no wife, no children. And yet you see, God came and told him, and he brought back to his remembrance who he was, the God of Abraham, his father, the God of Isaac, his father. Yes, and Jacob would have been aware of how God had appeared to Abraham, how he had appeared to Isaac, and therefore to have had such a gracious and a glorious introduction. And then to be told, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now we should remember that everything is at God's command. God has control of everything. And he can give you and me everything that we need. Not everything that we want, but everything that we need. This great God will provide. Yes, he does provide for his people. He provides all their needs. What a mercy that is, to think that this God provides for your need and provides for my need in every detail. And so here he is. God speaks to Jacob in this way, and he tells him, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And it wasn't going to be taken away. It was given. What a wonderful favour to have such a gift. And so then he then goes on to tell him, not only about his land, but about his seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, east, north and south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then he comes and speaks these wonderful words, and behold, I am with thee. There's no greater blessing, is there, for us as humans on this earth to have this great encouragement. And behold, that means we are to observe, that means we are to know the Lord is with us. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and bring thee again into this land. Now, it was necessary, wasn't it, that Jacob had such a promise? Because we know that when he went to serve Laban, he was deceived, and it was hard work. And no doubt he was remembering these promises. See, when the Lord God speaks to our heart, it's for a reason. God doesn't, we might say in a right way, God doesn't waste words. God doesn't waste promises. God gives us words. He gives us promises. Those that you and I will need. We'll need to plead them before our God. We'll need to hold them fast. What a blessing then, if the Lord has given us a word, a promise to hold fast to. Hold fast that which we have. Yes, the gift of God. Let us not throw it away. Let us not despise it. Tendency may be to despise it and say, well, that wasn't very much, and that wasn't really what I expected, and in any event it wasn't what I wanted. But my friends, if God's given it, however small it is, what a wonderful thing to receive anything from the good hand of our God. What a blessing, isn't it? And so let us tonight look back in our lives and see whether God has given us a promise, spoken to our hearts, the word of life. It won't disappear. It won't be taken away. It may be tested. It will be tested. But you and I can rely upon it, and we can hold it fast. And so here, Jacob in this place, this remarkable place, the Lord looked upon him and the Lord blessed him. So let us realize the Lord is in every place. Let's not think that because we find ourselves in a certain area, in a certain place, that God is not there, because God is. And I can tell you, some of my greatest blessings have been in foreign lands where the Lord has been mindful and has been gracious. The Lord knows where we are. He knows where we're going. He knows what we need. And so here was Jacob then, blessed with this wonderful promise, "For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And of course, the Lord was to be with Jacob right down to the end of his journey, and so he will be with the whole church of God. And so with this background, we find that Jacob's woken. And he realizes the Lord has been with him. The Lord has spoken to him. And what an occasion that is. How humbling it is. And we understand, can't we, when he said he was afraid, that it's really put like this. God was speaking to him. His Father in heaven was speaking to him. And as we think of that, perhaps in a natural way, we know that our Father speaks to us, has spoken to us perhaps, things of encouragement. And, well, we were very thankful for them. And here we find Jacob thankful for these great words that God has spoken. Therefore he says, "And I was afraid. And I said, how dreadful is this place." Well, wherever the Lord comes, wherever the Lord is, wherever the Lord meets with his people, we can think of it as a solemn place, isn't it? A solemn place where God comes. God comes down. He condescends to come to us where we are. And you know, sometimes God has come in the midst of a worldly scene, but in that place we worshipped. What have we said? In essence, how dreadful is this place? It's a solemn place because God's here. God's met with me. God's spoken to me. God's encouraged me. God's directed me. God's helped me. Yes, when God helps us, when God hears our prayers, when God's helped us, can we not say, "Well, yes, I understand a little of what Jacob says here. How dreadful is this place?" Because God was there. God was there. Well, it would be a wonderful favour in your life and my life if we are able to bear a humble testimony. The Lord has met with us and the Lord has spoken to us very often in an unlooked for scene, an unlooked for situation. But the place, the ordained place for God to come, the ordained place for God to bless, the Lord knows how he will bless, and where he will bless, and when he will bless. And so here was Jacob, not long having left his home with his parents, and going out now, travelled already many miles, I think some 40 miles or so he travelled, to get to this place, far off from home, no cars or transport, walked it, no way of just rushing back home. Now he was dependent upon his God being with him. And then God was with him. You may remember that Isaac when he'd sent Jacob forth, he'd said, "And God Almighty bless thee." God Almighty bless thee. That was the desire. And that was what had happened. In a very short time, there was Jacob blessed. And so he comes and so it says, "How dreadful is this place." And then he expands on it, what it is, what the place was to him. He says, "This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." We might ask the question, well, what is the house of God? What is the house of God? The house of God to you and me will be the place where God meets with us. God's provided this building, which we often refer to as the house of God, but of course it's only bricks and mortar. And in essence, if God never meets with you in this place, it's not the house of God to you. But if God does meet with you in this place, you will understand that it is the house of God to you. And so here in this place, God had met with Jacob. And to him it was the house of God to him. None other. It couldn't be anything else, because God had met with him. But again, what a mercy if you and I can testify of those places which have been to our soul the house of God. And how is that determined? Like this. We've bowed down and worshipped. That's how it's been determined. We've known that to our soul, it's been the house of God, because God's met with us and God's spoken to us and God's encouraged us and God's directed us. And we can say, this is none other but the house of God. Now, Jacob was blessed with this evidence in his life. And you and I need this evidence in our lives to be able to testify that this is the house of God, whether it's here in this place or other places. It may be in your homes, it may be in your workplace, it may be in some far off place, and yet the place where God condescended to come and to meet with us. And so here we have this statement. This is none other but the house of God. What is it? To Jacob's soul, what was it? A holy place. A holy place. God had met with him. God had met with him. A holy place it is when God meets with us. Because it's that wonderful meeting between our soul and God. This is none other but the house of God. Do you know, what had Jacob seen? He'd seen that connection between earth and heaven. It was illustrated to him by means of a ladder reaching right from the earth to heaven. My friends, today, what is our great and blessed connection between our souls and heaven? None less than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our great and blessed connection. And what a mercy if the Holy Spirit has come to us and shown us that way. That way to heaven, the only way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy to be blessed in this way. The Word of God directs us and encourages us to look to him as that great and merciful and blessed Saviour And the Apostle Paul knew very well the favour and the blessing of this condition. He tells us in the first chapter to the Ephesians, and he says this, verse 16, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." You see, although Jacob was asleep, the eyes of his understanding were enlightened, "that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." This to Jacob was the power of God. And to our hearts it will be the power of God. It'll be a holy place when the Lord comes and speaks to us. "Exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." It's summed up like this: a fullness resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need. Every need that you and I have is fulfilled through Christ. And so Jacob here, he gives this statement: this is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You see, as you and I go through the gate or go through a door, well, it's perhaps going into the house, into a place. And as we go through this gate is the entrance into the way of life, the way of eternal life. And so, what a blessing, as Jacob saw it like this: this is the gate of heaven. What it really means is God had come and revealed himself and spoken to Jacob. And he realized he'd entered in at the gate. It's perhaps the beginning of his journey. What a mercy if you and I have entered in at the gate. Perhaps the beginning of our spiritual journey. And it's like this: Jesus has revealed himself to us. Yes, it's the beginning. And you know, there is a right way, that's through the gate, or through the door. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the door." That's the only way of entrance into the way of life. Pilgrim's Progress tells us of those who climbed up over the wall. They didn't go through the gate. There's only one entrance into the way of life, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's through his great and glorious and finished work. That's the only way. If the Holy Spirit comes and directs us to our need of a Saviour, what a mercy that is. What a blessing that is. And we see that he is the door. "I am the door. I am the door," says the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we be thankful if the Holy Spirit has brought us into that way the right way. The apostle also, when he wrote to the Colossians, he also speaks in a very similar way. Again, in the first chapter, he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell." What does that mean? It means that everything that you and I need is to be found in Christ. Don't look anywhere else. To be found in Christ. And so he says, "And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross." Now here's a great truth, isn't it? And if Jesus is revealed to you and me like this, as we enter through the gate, that he is our peace, and there's no peace outside of, through the blood of his cross, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I are under the blood, my friends, there's peace. If we're not, there's no peace. And we need peace, and we must be under the blood. So the apostle here tells us, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, to bring back to God all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you and me, this word is directed to, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Is that true? Of course it's true. It is true. It's a blessing if you and I know it's true. And to think that this great and glorious God has very graciously come and reconciled us. We were alienated. We were against God. We fought against God. We didn't want to submit ourselves to God. We weren't prepared to do that. We wanted to have our own way, like a little spoilt child. And yet here we see these gracious and glorious words. And surely this is, again, the gate. And here was Jacob, you see, blessed with this revelation. And let us not forget, the psalmist tells us about Jacob. He found him in a desert place, in the waste howling wilderness. Here it is. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. My friends, when God has found you and me, he keeps us. He's with us. He's round about us. And therefore the apostle, as he wrote to the Colossians, speaks these words, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Very humbling, isn't it? If we realize how unworthy we are. Less than the least of all saints was the apostle's description of himself. And under the influence of the blessed Spirit, it'll be the description of you and me. Less than the least of all saints. The chief of sinners. Utterly unworthy of any notice from Almighty God. And yet, this great and glorious Saviour looks upon us. He looked upon Jacob. He came to him in a most amazing way. And my friends, whatever word the Lord may speak to you and me, it's an amazing way, it's an amazing blessing. It's an eternal blessing. That's the truth. It won't be removed. Once in him forever. That's the eternal favour of God. And so, here is this word, then let's read it again. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature. Well, through the grace of God, you know, we've all heard the glorious gospel. Have we been blessed with living faith to believe it? Are we grounded in the truth and settled in it? What a mercy. Therefore, if we've entered in through this gate, and this is the gate of heaven. It was the beginning of the heavenly journey. The beginning of the heavenly journey. There must always be in your life and my life a beginning. There'll be an end, but there must be a beginning, and there must be a right beginning. We don't want to have clambered up some other way. We don't want to have avoided or tried to get round the word of God and the truth of God. We want to be found walking in that which is right and that which is God-honoring. And so here was Jacob then in this condition. And he rose up, he got up. He realized that God had met with him. It's very humbling when you and I can testify that God has met with us. That God has spoken to us the word of life. What a blessing. And here we see Jacob getting up. He rose up early in the morning. We can imagine, can't we? Lying there, with head on those stony pillow, contemplating the great promise and word that God had come to his heart and the things that he had seen. It's a good thing when God comes to us, perhaps, and we are in our bed and we're able to lie on our bed and we're able to think of the truths that God has revealed to us, that our soul rejoices in it. Well, there's no lying in bed then, is there? When the dawn comes, we get up. Oh, we're thankful to be able to remember what God has done, perhaps to write it down, and perhaps to tell someone about it, at least to desire not to forget it. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He wanted that to be a place that he would remember. He didn't want to forget this wonderful occasion. In the lives of the children of God, we look back, do we not, in our life, to situations, to places, and times when God met with us. Yes, what we might term it as a waymark, a mark where God met us in our journey of life. Well, have we got some waymarks in our life to remember, to strengthen us in our journey as we travel on through life with many ups and downs and perplexities? Can we lay hold upon God's promises? Go back in our mind to perhaps a place where, perhaps not physically, but perhaps mentally, we placed a pillar. A pillar to remember. It was in that place that God met with my soul. A place of remembrance. And so here was Jacob. He poured oil upon the top of it and he called the name of that place Bethel. The name of that city was called Luz at the first. Well, it's good, isn't it, if you and I in our spiritual life have a Bethel, perhaps one little Bethel. What a blessing that is. If you can say, yes, I do remember God did meet with me. God did speak to me. It's a Bethel. Don't despise it. Bless God for it. May we have many Bethels that we can remember. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God has led thee. That was spoken of Israel. All those 40 years in the wilderness. And my friends, God's people today, by his grace, they remember all the way. The Lord has led them. And it's God's work, and it's God's leading, and it's God's voice. So in some small measure, we can understand what Jacob experienced on this wonderful occasion. To be able there to be strengthened and encouraged in our faith, and to think of what Jacob said. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Amen.